Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins on the first Sunday in August, as I was just reminded of. Okay, if you haven't already, stand and greet your neighbor, please. Good morning, Peggy. Do we have any announcements from the congregation this morning? Dave? Okay. Fifth Sunday breakfast, service at 9, breakfast to follow. Anybody else?
Sanctuary Sunday School class is meeting, and we'll start the class at 9:15. Start class at 9:15. And so, if you're not in the Sunday School class and you're an adult and want to participate, be right over here in this section at 9:15. And then we're working on a senior adult Sunday School class, maybe to start in September. And if you have any interest in that, we think we have a teacher. Hopefully the Lord is dealing with a couple to lead that. So we will, we believe he is, and pray about a senior adult. If you consider yourself a senior adult.
How old do you have to be?
If you consider yourself a senior adult.
You notice he conveniently didn't say any ages, just if you consider yourself a senior adult. Okay. Any prayer requests or praise reports? Good. Melanie?
My brother Gary had a kidney removed and a hernia repaired, which I didn't even know he had. He didn't know he had until they contemplated removing his kidney. And so far, things look good. We don't have test results yet, but he's healing. Thank you for prayers for him.
Anyone else? Is it Justin Hopper, H-O-P-P-E-R? Okay. Anyone else? Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship, please. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is found in your bulletin. It is responsive. Could you please stand? Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The hymn this morning is Blessed Be the Name, page 103, or on the screen above. Let's sing all three verses.
All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the counsel for the mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
And bow with me as we pray. Lord, we come together to offer praise to You because we know that Your name is blessed and is to be blessed. And Lord, we come with our attempts to just offer blessing unto You and honor and glory and just to lift You up, Lord. And Lord, we know as we praise You that that lifts us up. And Lord, we don't want to be selfish, but we do want to express our thanksgiving that You lift us and let us walk on a different level, having been in Your presence and knowing that You walk with us. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence here in this place this day. But thank You, Lord, that we're not separated from You when we go out into the world. Lord, we thank You that You are with us every moment, every day, every hour. And Lord, help us to honor You not only in this place, but out in that world. We pray for this service, Lord, that it will speak Your message to us and that truly we can praise and glorify You. Thank You in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me make one statement. Bethel College was the Cumberland Presbyterian College. Bethel College is no longer. Yesterday, it became Bethel University, and same campus, additional programs or majors and opportunities that the college has been moving towards. Sam was there yesterday for that service, and he will also be speaking at graduation, I think it's at 2 o'clock today, the first graduating class from Bethel University. And Chelsea missed it by 3 months. 3 months. That's okay. She's out. And she and I and Patrick are graduates of Bethel College, but everybody from yesterday on that graduate there will be graduates of Bethel University. And we just are pleased to be a part of that, and we've given support to that throughout the years through OUO, through individual gifts, and we rejoice with the progress. There were a few times since I learned about Bethel College that we didn't know if there would even be a college, more than once, but now it's at its height, I guess, in serving on campus and away from campus with, I think they call them off-site places where people are receiving an education. Just thank you for letting me share that. Also, the two songs, there's two Blessed Be the Names. One's contemporary. We didn't think we were ready to sing it without the praise band. Praise band don't like to get up early. They may play late at night. I don't know why, but they didn't want to get up early and be here. They wanted to be here for the 10:15 service. But we'll have a different Blessed Be the Name in the 10:15 service. And just be meditating upon the experience of Holy Communion as we move to that point this morning also. Incidentally, Daniel and Jordan and Julie are going to unite with our church, place their membership with this congregation this morning, and bring Joseph, their infant, 16-month-old. And so we will inform you of this and let you know that that is going to happen. So pray for this experience also. We will receive them into membership right before the communion service. Thank you.
Would you join me in the Apostles' Creed, which is in page 716 of the hymnal or on the screen? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession this morning comes from Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. The prayer of confession is in union. Please join me. God of unity and love, place within each of us a spirit of hope and community. Have mercy upon us when we speak without love or act without humility. Cleanse us with the living water of your grace. Create in us willing hearts to live in patience and gentleness. Raise us up to be your children, growing toward maturity in faith and love. Strengthen this church that we may be a model of ministry and unity for all the world to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The words of assurance. Know, dear friends, that we are knit together by the very bonds of Christ's love for us. As the living water, Christ washes us clean and makes us a new creation. As our bread of life, Christ nurtures and sustains us. Because we believe, we need never hunger or thirst for mercy. Forgiveness is ours, both now and forevermore. What a friend we have in Jesus. Page 435 in your hymnals. Let's sing the first verse.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Luke 12:15. And Jesus said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things." Would our ushers please come forward?
If David and Ed and Charlie will remain here in the altar with me, and the rest of you may be seated, except we invite Steve and Mr. West and Melanie.
Why do I pick and choose? It's the elder's responsibility to serve communion. If elders are available, and the active elders are those who are serving on the session at this time, and then those who have rotated off. If I overlooked an active elder this morning, I forgive you. I believe all of these have served previously, and we beg your forgiveness if we overlooked an active elder this morning. We come to the communion table to remember Jesus in this special way, His sacrifice for us. We've often put it, this is the way that He showed how much He loves us. Greater love hath no man than this, He said, than to lay down His life for His friend. Oh, He laid down His life for us. And the Apostle Paul said, even before we became His friends, He was friends to us, but we were still rejecting His friendship. Romans 5:8, I believe it is. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down His life for His friend. Jesus' words. And then Paul says, God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, or one version, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hear these words. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, they needed some correction in the way they served communion. I'm not sure that we need correction, but we need to be reminded. He says, Paul does, that he receives of the Lord this message. See, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So he had already passed it on to the church at Corinth, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That phrase, until he comes, he said he's coming back. He died, buried. God raised him up on the third day, took him to heaven after 40 days upon the earth with the promise to return, to receive us unto him, so that where he is, we may be also. So we come to the table this morning remembering his death, remembering it's to pay for our sin that separates us from God, and he paid for it, and through our faith in him, now we have the hope of him coming to receive us, to claim us, and take us to heaven to be with him. Lord, as we have read concerning Jesus and the bread, we, following his example, break the bread, a symbol of your broken body, broken for us. Thank you, Lord. And as we break this bread and eat this broken morsel of bread, we remember your love for us, how you gave yourself, allowed yourself, permitted yourself, your body to be broken, the pain to be inflicted upon you, because you love us so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The body of Christ, broken for you. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup. We remember Jesus' words concerning it, poured out for a new covenant, life, His life, given for us that we might know eternal life. Thank you. Thank you for salvation through faith in His work on the cross. His name we offer. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Elders, you will serve the people. Eat and drink, remembering a broken body, a shed blood, all because of the great love of God. Lord, again, we offer our thanks, our praise, of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I didn't follow the exact order as I said that I would. So if it's WIDJAJA with Judja is the best I can do in pronouncing their name, and they haven't gotten mad at me because they haven't really learned how to say Guin yet. So if they will come forward, we've been Christians. Julia was raised in the Catholic Church. Daniel became a Christian through the Baptist Church while back in Indonesia, and their little one is Joseph, and they have been Jonesboro, Arkansas for a number of years going to school. They participated in the Assembly of God Church there, came to Bellevue, working for Vanderbilt. Daniel is participated in the Assembly of God Church there. But they came out here and they attended. They came by when they were having some sale. We think it was a consignment sale last fall, and Becky and Bob were involved in that, and Sam and Nancy. And they welcomed the church. So they were building a house over here, so they moved over here. And Silver Stream, and we welcomed them, and they've allowed me to come into their house and eat their food, and also to give them, indoctrinate them into Cumberland Presbyterian thought and Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And they didn't run me off much after 8:30, right? Okay. So we've been over these questions individually, so I want to answer them publicly. And Jordan, I guess I forgot to, are you a member of the Assembly of God Church now? Have you joined the church? But have you been baptized? You have been baptized, but not a member of the church. But so especially for you, all five of these questions, and for Daniel and Julie, I think the one number five. So, but anyhow, I will ask them all and ask you to respond appropriately. You have repented of your sin and believe Jesus Christ to be your Savior and the Lord of your life. The Scriptures, the Bible. Do you believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be God's inspired Word, the source of authority for faith and practice, and you are reading and studying them for guidance in living the Christian life? One thing I think even Daniel, last evening as we were here together and the young people were having, the middle school were having a meeting, and he says, "This pastor helped me to live a Christian life, but read that Bible more than you depend on me to tell you how, see?" Okay. And I know you are, okay. But that was an honor for him to say that. Do you promise to be a faithful member of this church by participating in worship, sharing in its ministry of witness and service, supporting the government of the church, and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you strive to overcome temptation and weakness, grow in knowledge and grace, and practice love in all relationships, being strengthened in your personal discipleship by your life in the community of faith that we refer to, one way we refer to the church, the community of faith? And I guess this, a seventh grader going into a new school, especially the temptations and the weaknesses and the need to grow, we would stress that one for you, Jordan. So will you? Okay. God has been so good to us, and material benefits. He's entrusted us with just more than we really need. Hopefully we're good stewards, all of us, of all of it. And do you promise to be a good steward of the life, the talents, the time, and the money which God has entrusted to you, giving of these gifts to the church? Okay. Let us pray. And after the service, they'll be back in the rear area of the church for your welcome and greeting. And hopefully you will learn to pronounce with Jaja better than I do. Okay. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings and blessings, Mr. Joseph. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for a new relationship, a new step. Lord, we pray that this would be a rewarding, encouraging, helpful to the Wajajas and to this congregation. And thank you for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is printed in your bulletin, or you can follow along in your Bible. It's Exodus 3:10 through 15 and Exodus 6:2 through 8. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Maybe I should have said this morning a few thoughts about God, or a bit of information about God. I want to use the next few weeks, not sure how many weeks, talking about some basic principles from the Bible. I wrote a book. I think there's one copy left that's available. Didn't plan to start out to be a book, but it ended up being a book. And when I started this series of lessons to be placed in newspapers, I was asked to write about Bible characters and events. Well, it ended up, I think I chose events myself. And the person who had asked me to do this agreed to it, or he never objected to it. I guess he agreed to it, kept sending money. I said, if we're going to talk about Bible characters, the first place to go, the place to begin, ought to be with God. The Bible begins, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So, this morning I want to talk about God. And we'll talk about God a little more next week if all goes well, or according to my plan. And sometimes these plans do get changed, but that's my intent for next week also. So we'll talk about God. What do you know about God? The Apostles' Creed, we say it every Sunday. I believe in God. What else do we say after that? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And that's all the Apostles' Creed. The Nicene Creed is on the same page, and it says, I believe in God and the Father Almighty also starts. These are the early creeds from the church that are used today are about God. Start with the word about God. So let's think about God this morning. Heavy subject, I know. And I don't promise to do a superb job, but I hope to, maybe for some, to introduce you to who is this God that we worship, and maybe to talk about Him, help you to get to know Him personally, and then that you can share Him with others or lead others to know and worship God. Tell me about God. If someone came to you and asked you to tell them about God, they came and said, tell me all you can about God, or tell me something about God, this God that you go to church to worship each week, what would you say? Tell me about this God that you worship and gather with other believers in God and worship. You meet in God's name and in His Son's name. This God that you pray to, tell me about it. What would you say? A neighbor. Giving you a moment to think. I had a far-fetched idea, or I thought it was far-fetched, but it could be a real experience. It's a possibility if you watch enough murder shows on television. I guess it could be a possibility, or you'll think it won. What if a robber came up to you, we'll say in the parking lot, choose your parking lot, Kroger, Walmart, Publix, Target, but you're in the parking lot about to get in your car, and a robber comes and sticks a gun in your ribs. Well, maybe he didn't believe in guns and he had a knife. One's as bad as the other, is it not? The robber came and stuck something in your ribs, knife or a gun, and demanded that you tell him about the God that you love and serve. That's a far-fetched illustration. Maybe you'll remember it because it was so far-fetched. The robber comes and says, tell me about this God that you love and serve. Tell me about this God that you gather with others and sing to. Tell me about this God that you come into a sanctuary and listen to somebody talk about Him. I'll give you a message from Him. Tell me about this God that you give your money to, or give of your money to make it possible for you to have a place to gather with fellow believers and worship, etc. Tell me about this God that you pay hard-earned dollars to or for so that His people, His missionaries, will go far and near and tell others about Him. Someone says, tell me about God, your God. What would you tell them? And this robber, if he says that, I need to know, he was saying, what would you say to him? And he certainly needs to know if he is robbing you. What can you tell someone about God? But more important than that, what about your own knowledge of God? Not what others say about Him. Not hearsay, what I've heard that God this and that. I've heard that God loves everybody. Or not that, well, based on what I think, I can't believe in a God who would do thus and so. And you may have, if that's your thinking, that may be a warped view of God. Maybe that's a little harsh. But oftentimes we say, I can't believe in a God who does that, so I just won't believe in a God. Just because you won't believe in Him doesn't mean that He's not real and present. What do you know personally about God? What do you know personally? What is your experience with God? Your personal relationship with Him. What is your personal relationship with Him? Do you have one? You know, Adam and Eve, they had a personal relationship and they did wrong, and God came to visit with them. What'd they do? They ran and hid. That wasn't much of a personal relationship, was it? They were trying to get away from Him. You know, Jesus asked His disciples about Himself, Jesus being God in the flesh, who do people say that I am? And He says, they begin to say, well, some say this and some say that. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're somebody that's been alive once and come back to life. And He says, but what do you say about Me? And that's when Peter spoke up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God. That question came to those who were with Jesus, and that question needs to come to each of us. What is our personal knowledge, personal experience with God? Do we have one? One question that keeps coming to my mind, and I keep hearing it from other people here and there and someplace else, but as I began to prepare this sermon, I thought it was a good time to respond to it, is do we, Christians, to the Christians that we know, do we serve the same God that the Muslims do? And that question has been really floating around since 9/11, or since the war in Iraq began. My understanding, the same God, but a different understanding or a different comprehension of God. They claim, as we do, to serve this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Actually, they don't claim to serve the God of Jacob because they're not descendants of Jacob. And only a portion of them were descendants of Isaac. You see, they are descended from Abraham's other son, Ishmael, and Isaac's other son, Esau. And we are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham's child by Hagar, Ishmael. And then Jacob's brother, Esau, and the descendants of those two individuals, we find the Muslim, or Muslims, people of the Islamic faith. And that's in very general terms. But Abraham is their ancestor also, looking back to the God of Abraham. But they have a different understanding of God. A different comprehension, different knowledge of God. And as Christians, we believe that we are the true descendants of Abraham. It is not uncommon. It is not uncommon to have a misunderstanding about God. Back in the book of Amos, the Israelites of the northern kingdom had a wrong comprehension, understanding about what God expected of them. So God sent this man called Amos from Judah, from the southern kingdom of Israel, portion of Israel, up to the northern kingdom, and had him to preach to the wealthy, rich people. He was a dresser of a sycamore trees and a herdsman, and he went north to proclaim, folks, what you think about God is not the way He is. And in Amos chapter 5, and it begins with verse 21, God says through Amos, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. They were assembling. They were having feasts in His name. He goes on to say, though you offer me burnt offerings, they were offering offerings on an altar, and your grain offerings, God said through Amos, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. They had even been singing to Him, but God says, you're wrong. Take away from me your song, the noise of your songs, for I will not hear your melody of your stringed instruments. But this is what God required. The next verse, it's verse 24. But let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. So live justly, treat your neighbor just, and live right. Live according to God's will. Righteous lives. Right living. Do not offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness. Or did you not offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O half of Israel? You carried Sikoth your king and your idols, the star of your which you made for yourselves. Therefore I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus. So they had taken up idols to worship. And also in the book of Micah, Old Testament again, it's Micah 6:8. These people had a wrong understanding, and they said, well, what shall we do? With what shall we come before the Lord? And Micah responds, the prophet of God says, He's shown you. You know what's right to bring before the Lord. You know, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Justice, mercy, and humbleness before God. So, through the generations, people have gained a misunderstanding about God. The God you know. The God you know. What does the Bible teach about God? How well do we know Him? Is it what we've heard about Him? Well, we've heard that He is so-and-so. And some people come to me and say, I've heard about God. Is that true? Or maybe your situation is, I met Him once, but I haven't had much to do with Him since then. And a lot of people come to a preaching service, will hear a sermon, get under conviction, and commit themselves to the Lord, but that's the end of it. That's not enough. Was that a real conversion experience? Was that a real faith? Was that a saving experience with the Lord? Or some people might say, well, I used to be close friends with God, but we're not so close anymore. You know, I've kind of wandered away. That question often comes up. And we say, if you're not as close to God as you used to be, don't go around wondering who moved, that it wasn't God. We moved. And some say, well, you know, I used to really be a servant of God, but I hardly ever see Him now. And then some people say, well, they refer to Him always, well, the man upstairs, and that's a little limited. Better than nothing, but the man upstairs, let's know that God is not limited to upstairs. He is here on earth with us. And then some can say, yes, we visit Him regularly. We visit Him regularly. We pray with Him regularly. There are people who do not believe in God. Did you know that? There are people who really do not believe in God. They're called atheists. But you know what the Bible says about them? Two times the psalmist says the same thing, Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 and following. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if a person says, I don't believe in God, the Bible says that he's a fool. That's not my judgment. That's the Bible's judgment. Others, they believe that there is a God somewhere out there, but they don't believe that people can come to get to know Him. And they're called agnostics. Agnostics. And then the Greeks and the Romans of days gone by believed in many gods. And Paul's experience, Acts chapter 17, as he went to Athens to preach, and he found a bunch of idols that people worshipped as gods, and then they found an idol to this unknown God. And he said, that's the God I want to talk about. And he named Him God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Friends, Moses believed in God. He believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We find it here in our scripture lesson. Moses experienced the presence of God, but Moses had his doubt that others would believe that he really had been in the presence of God. See, Moses was a murderer. He had run off from his people that God was sending him back to because he had murdered someone and afraid he would become arrested. I didn't think that I would get through my outline this morning, but let me say, in closing, the thing we need to know about God is, number one, that He is alive. God is alive. In the 1960s, people began to say that God is dead. And it got in the paper and news went everywhere. I remember, I think Billy Graham was asked, what about this theory of God being dead? And he said, well, that's strange. I talked to him this morning. And I think you can say that. God is alive. In the book of Revelation, John heard Jesus say, I am the Alpha, that's the beginning, the Omega, that's the ending. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the beginning and the ending, but I am the one who was, the one who is. God is right now. God is alive. And we'll pick up next week and talk about God being one. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to not only know about You, but help us to know You. Know You in a personal way. Know You as our Father, our Heavenly Father, who abides upon earth with us. Thank You for Your presence with us, even in this place, on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The song is number 17, and it's really a proclamation about God. Let's stand together and sing two of the verses. Peggy, can you choose the two about God?
Sing the first and the last.
First and last. Lord, as we go forth, keep us aware in the coming days of your presence with us, that you are alive and that you abide with us. Thank you through Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Daniel and Julie and Jordan and Joseph, if y'all will make it to the back. I bet he's doing okay.
Yeah.
But since Granddaddy was there, he knew. Talk to me one day. About Tuesday, all right? Well, I've been available. You got to call me. We'll see you Monday. Tuesday, I'm not going to.
What's your proposal?
Okay. Okay. Can you keep a secret? Will you keep a secret? Okay. I'm pretty sure we're going to need a Wednesday night cook.
Okay. That's a no-brainer.
Okay, well, I thought it was, but I didn't want to get ahead of myself, and I still made this little situation that, thank you for being available.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the whole fall, and we can sit down.